is if you grab your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians 12, and eventually we're going to jump over to Ephesians 4 also, but 1 Corinthians 12, where we're going to start out, and I'll say thank you for your part last week in the FBC Homecoming Day. Has anybody seen that picture yet? Sire, will you hit that up there? Is he gone? Uh-oh. One of you guys just hit the right arrow. There you go. If you haven't seen it, here's the picture of us. I know it's further back. You can see a crowd here, and it was a great group. If you were here and were a part, I hope you felt a sweet spirit, just a neat time of being together, having a fellowship and a luncheon, enjoying time together, seeing visitors come be with us, hugging, chatting, catching up, laughing, and watching each other eat. If you're here a couple weeks ago, it made more sense to you. So thank you that so many of you invited folks to be here. And let me just remind you, if you invited someone that did not come, don't be discouraged. Remember, we're planting seeds, letting God give the increase. If they came, celebrate. But remember, the work has only begun. It's only the beginning of a good work. And so many of you brought great food, and many helped prep for that day, the plates, the utensils, the napkins. Notice there was a theme, right? I did not make that theme. How many like that? Those pretty plates and the napkins all wrapped up. Anybody want to guess who did that? When I was gone to South Dakota, she got that taken care of. So thank you, Katie, for doing that. And a bunch of people got the tables and chairs set up, and others got food here and got it where it was supposed to be and prepped. But what's really special is that even after the event, many stayed to help. Many stayed to wash dishes. They cleaned the kitchen, took laundry home to wash, to organize the kitchen. Chairs got put up, tables folded up, floor vacuumed. And it's really neat to see a church jump into action as needed. And I'll share, for a long time that would happen. Then on Tuesday, my family would come back up and put tables and chairs up. And it's neat to hear people say, no, let's just do it now. It takes 30 minutes. And just need to see so many jump in and take care of that. So thank you for that. And people seeing a need and just doing what needs to do. It's easy to miss these opportunities of service and an encouragement. If nothing else, you were an encouragement to me. So thank you for that. You can go ahead and move it to the next picture, if you will. And which is just our slide. But last week, we spoke of what truly should unite us. You know, our purpose for gathering, our purpose for being a truth, is we are united in truth. Our purpose for coming together isn't the Word of God, it's not the truth. We have no purpose. You might as well go to the social club and just enjoy time at the golf club. But we are here for a purpose. And we appreciate a church, and I really appreciate you as a church that allows me to speak sometimes on hard topics. Things that sometimes are counterculture. Sometimes they call out our traditions. Sometimes they go against what mama and daddy have taught all your life. Sometimes they make us uncomfortable. Things that sometimes we've never heard someone mention from the pulpit. I still remember the first time I mentioned the S word. I got some dirty looks. Pastors don't talk like that from the pulpit. No, but the Word of God tells us how important it is. And we see where the world has gotten, and you allow me to. And I've gotten it chewed out before for it. But for the most part, I see growth, and I see people that accept and want the Word of God preached. And when we can come together in truth, agree that God's Word is our authority, and we let that guide us, we can function like the body that we are supposed to be. And that's enjoyable. It's enjoyable to be the body that God wants us to be. It's when we do that, we start to grow in appreciation of the body God has made us. It's a mark of a maturing believer that you care about the body of Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go down to verse 12, and listen to what the Apostle Paul has written for us. For as the body is one and has many members, And all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. We thank you for loving us. I thank you for this church. Thank you for each member that you've placed here as a part of this body. For each person that's come to serve, to learn, to encourage, to build, and to pray together. Lord, I ask that you give me the words to say that I could be an encouragement today, that we can celebrate what you have made us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, as we see in this text, that is where Paul speaks through the inspiration of God. Now, we see the inspiration of God. Inspiration actually means the breathing out. That's how God gave us his word, as he breathed out his word through these men. And he gave us truth of how the church is to come together, how it's formed, and the importance of her. So the first thing I want to say is we are one body. We are one body. You know, together we form the body of Christ. The body we call church. It's the assembling of God's local believers. There's a general body of Christ that we might speak of. Some will call the universal church. I just like to refer to it as the general body of Christ. And then there is, we see in Scripture, a local indigenous body, the church. It is a local group of believers that come together under the authority of God's word to be obedient to God's word, that form itself and support themselves. It's the local indigenous church. And that's what we are. The church should come together to praise and to worship God. I hope you enjoy coming together and our praise team works to put together songs, usually fitting for the topic if I give it to them correctly. I didn't stick with topic this time, but you know what? The songs were perfect. They were awesome. And thank you for your work in that. And, you know, we come together not only for praise and worship, but to study God's Word. I hope you come ready and attentive for when the Word of God is open and spoken, that you let the Spirit of God use it to bring conviction in your life, to bring comfort in your life. We come together to remember to work at Christ as we will soon again partake the Lord's Supper. Just remembering what his body has done for us, what his blood does for us. We come together to pray for one another to approach the throne of God. We come together to encourage one another and also to hold one another accountable. We also serve one another. It requires humbling to be a part of this body, doesn't it? We come together to send believers out to the world with the gospel. Let me ask you this, who from here will go out from here? We should each step out of this building with a desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our area. But when's the last time that we have prayed that we see God send one of our own out as missionary, out as a church planter, out as a pastor, out as a minister, go out to Africa, to go to Brazil, to go to Mexico, that God would call somebody out from amongst us to take the Great Commission just a little bit further. Out of our Jerusalem, maybe to our Samaria, maybe to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do we pray for that? You know, that's what we should be excited about. Realize in today's passage, we believers are not just a simple bunch of individuals, but we form one body. Where God uses many different people, different characters. We got some in here that are much more serious than others, right? You can tell that when I try to tell a joke on Sunday mornings. Some give me the pity laugh. Some might actually laugh. And others are like, oh, geez. He tried again. Just like right now. See? I told you. But we have all kinds of characters in here. You know, it uses different personalities, different talents, all that to form one body. Because like your physical body, there are many parts. Each part of your body serves a purpose. It has a function. Here's the cool part of being one. Verse 12. There's one little phrase there. I believe it's at the end of the verse. So also is Christ. We are one with each other, but we are also one in Christ. But Jesus told us what part of the body he is. Jesus had been very clear to us what part of this body he is. Listen to this in Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the what? The head thereof. In Ephesians 5:23, speaking of the family of husband and wife, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. See, Jesus is the leader. Jesus is the master. Jesus is the guide. Jesus is the one that where he leads, I should follow. Now, I'll tell you this about your body. If your head tries to lead you somewhere and your feet take you somewhere else, you're in trouble. And too often my body tries to do that. I've had this hip pain lately. I'm getting old. I think it's because I slept funny. And that's when you know you're getting old. Amen? Gary said that and he wasn't even making fun of me this time, were you? But understand that we should follow the head. Jesus is, he is the head. What did he tell us? That we're to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, his salvation, and follow him. He is the head of the body. So Jesus not only is one with us, he's so intimate with the authentic church. In Ephesians 5, Jesus refers to the church as his bride. It's the only time they can use a female pronoun for me, okay? I'm the bride of Christ, and I'm happy to say it. He saved me. And there's going to be a wedding feast one day. I'm going to be there. You going to be there? See, and understand this, Jesus loves the church so much he refers to her as his bride. You better honor his bride because that's his wife, his church, the one he loves. Let me remind you, don't you be bad-mouthing his church. Church is full of hypocrites. And room for one more. Come on in. Church is full of sinners. That's right. That's why we need church. Don't be bad-mouthing the church of God because they're the ones that actually humbled themselves to come to him and beg for help. Beg for mercy. Don't try to pervert her and change her purpose for which God created her. Don't try to use her for your own benefit and your own gratification. Well, I'll go to church as long as they sing what I want them to sing. As long as they do the activities I want them to do. As long as the pastor preaches what I want them to preach. As long as my buddy's going to be there. Quit using the bride of Christ for your personal pleasure. That's dangerous. Because you'll answer to him for it. I think any good hubby in here would be hacked off if you mouth his wife. If you try to touch his wife in an inappropriate way. Husbands, you with me? It's no different for Christ. He loves his bride. And so be careful mouthing her and dogging her. But as his body, we are one with each other and Christ. And verse 13 tells us how to be a part of this body. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. When we are baptized, understand, we always hear the word baptized and we want to take it to water baptism. When you walk through Scripture, you've got to use the word according to where you're reading, to the context where you're at. The word baptized means to immerse, to cover. And he tells you that to be in this body, you must be baptized, covered, immersed by who? The Holy Spirit. To become a part of this body, with me? You've got to be covered by the Spirit of God. Again, don't be confused with water baptism. Water baptism is very important. It testifies of our faith in Jesus and the work that he's done for us. But the Holy Spirit baptism is the agent or what happens to us when we place faith in Christ. You know who the actual baptizer is? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the baptizer that immerses you with the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Mark 1:8 tells us what John the Baptist said about Jesus. I indeed have baptized you with water. This is John the Baptist speaking. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So you come to him in faith, he will cover you with the Spirit of God. This is the promise from Jesus Christ himself when he left earth, and he promised that he would send what he called the Comforter. And later he clarified, the Holy Spirit. And at the time of salvation, when you're born again, we are filled, we are covered with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me just step back from my outline real quick and just explain again. At salvation, you are as full of the Holy Spirit as you will be. The term being filled by the Spirit has been perverted by a charismatic movement that makes them jump around and say funny things. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a reference to you receiving more Spirit, but the Spirit receiving more of you. About you submitting and obeying the Spirit of God as He guides you by the Word of God. You want to be moved by the Spirit? You want to be filled by the Spirit? Be studying the Word of God and apply it to your Word. I'm sorry, apply it to your life. Then you can say, I'm being filled by the Spirit of God. Because when you are saved and you place faith in Jesus Christ, He covers you with the Holy Spirit. He bought you. He fills you up. That's why I give the Holy Spirit a lot of space so He's comfortable. Understand, for you to be a true part of the body of Christ, there must be a time where you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You called out to him for salvation. You were born again as a child of God. And he'll give you his Spirit so that you can be empowered to live for him. There's a place to plant. It's right there. I don't care how many rolls of churches your name is on. You ain't part of God's church if you ain't got the Spirit of God upon you. You can vote in all their little business meetings. You can know all the lingo. But if you never called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, there's going to be a day they're going to say, but Lord, I did all this for you. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you doers of iniquity. You've got to have a time you place faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about your works. It's because of your works that you need salvation. See, you can claim to be a Christian, but if you never have placed faith in Jesus, you're still in your own sins, and you have no Holy Spirit power in you. You are deceiving your own self. But if you're a child of God, you're a faithful and a positive part of His body, if you're obedient to Him. Either you build His church, or you steal from His bride. Where are you? We know a lot of people here that I really love His church and are faithful to her. They give to make sure His ministry can continue. Not because, oh, I got a checklist. We talked about this before. Oh, I got a checklist. Got to put offering in the plate. But thank you, Lord, for letting me be a part of your ministry. Thank you, God, for providing to me. We've got people here that when you have activities, events, you know they're going to be here. Then you know there's people here that are even here when we say that it's going to be a prayer meeting. Why? Because we know we need to be here. Scripture tells what? Forsake not the assembling yourself together as a matter of some is. See, it's important. It's vital to come together. You need to be a part, a faithful part of God's church. So you know what? No matter what part of the body you are, each part of the body matters. Look at verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if an ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. Too often we see some parts are more important than others. Some might want the high positions and high offices. They want to be in the public areas and want to be seen in the church. Some want the positions of leadership. And the scripture is very clear, those positions of leadership should only be given to those that are proven faithful. Some might want to be a deacon, but understand this, no one should be a deacon if he's not willing also to visit the hospitals, to cry with the dying, to hurt with the suffering. The title don't matter. You can do the ministry of a deacon, because a deacon means minister, without having the title of deacon. One should not be a trustee in a church who's not willing to put up chairs. I want a title. It makes me feel special. Well, you are special. See, we don't need a title. One should not want to stand in a praise team to be seen if they're not also willing to work the nursery and put their hands on a dirty diaper. Can I get an amen? Okay. Charlie's like, I'm never singing in my life. There's lines. See, the whole point is, am I willing to serve? Am I willing to be faithful? Because then, when I'm faithful and I serve, I don't care about a title. I just want to honor God with my life. And then sometimes you're going to be asked, hey, will you take this title? And you're like, what's it going to change in my life? Sure, I'll do it, because I was already going to do those works anyway. I was already going to put chairs and tables up. I was already going to vacuum the floor and sweep the floor. I'll take that. I don't mind sitting down and talking about what we're going to do in the coming month. I appreciate those that have the titles, because they do. They meet on a regular basis so that we can get stuff going and make sure things are working right. But guess what? They ain't no more important than those that don't have titles. I've got the title of pastor. That means I have the privilege to be an under-shepherd. You know a fact about a true shepherd? They stink. Because they're working with dirty animals. Now, I just thought of it when I'm saying it. What I'm calling y'all is not dirty animals. I'm just saying carrying the name shepherd wasn't some big privilege in that day. And on top of that, not only am I a shepherd, I'm the under-shepherd. I'm the low guy that was hired by the shepherd to do work for him. That's all I am. I just happen to have this title. You know why? Because years ago, before I had any sort of title, I was willing to do some work in a church. I swept a gym. I helped in Awanas. I helped in nurseries and junior church and stuff like that. I refereed flag football for the church. I pulled the trash. And so when God started leading the different ministries, yeah, I got some titles. You know what the titles did for me? Nothing. I just kept doing what God wanted to do in my life. And there's so many right here. You serve on a regular basis. Thank you. And you don't need to be held up. Why? You're laying down treasures in heaven. You don't need my kudos. God's got your back. Amen. God's building you up. Now, where'd I go here? See, each part of the body is a vital part. dumb to cut off my ears because they don't see. It'd be silly to pluck out my eyeballs because they don't know how to walk. If so, how would I see? How would I hear? That's what these verses just said to us. You know, each part of the body is vital. See, in verse 18 tells us who assembled the body, who chose those little parts, the parts we don't even know of. I shared with you years ago, I had no clue there was a thing in my body called thyroid. Thought a doctor said, yours ain't working right. I can't even blame that for being fat, because I was fat before I even knew I had a thyroid. See, I got no excuses. But there's parts of my body I had no clue about. But God did. And he placed it there for a purpose. He placed it there to work. He assembled this body, this church body, the same way. Verse 1 through 11 tells us how God gifted each part of his body. He gave you special gifts to use within your body, and we're going to touch on that soon, to do what he wants through you. The spiritual gifts are not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of his church. Paul also listed the spiritual gifts in Ephesians. He says this, listen to this. Ephesians 4:12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you're a believer baptized in his Spirit, you are blessed with his gifts to use for his church. And if you're not faithful to his church, you are misusing the gifts from God. So I want you to know this about you. Here's the truth. We as a body need you. You are needed. You that might feel out of place, you that feel like you don't do nothing, we need you. We need your faithfulness, that you are here, an encouragement. You know, like I said, don't have to have a title. There's some of y'all don't have a title. But man, it's so encouraging that you walk in the doors. Because you know how to encourage someone without even trying. God uses you in incredible ways. We need you to be committed. Not just when it fits into your schedule. But your schedule, now check this out. How cool would it be if we gave God our schedule? Say, God, I'm putting all the things you've already scheduled on here, and then I'll fit my fun stuff around it. I'll fit my entertainment around it. I'll fit my additions around it, but I'm going to be obedient to you first. Ooh, would that change our calendars? Any ouches or amens? Yeah. Just throwing thoughts out. That's all I'm doing. We need you to serve using those gifts that God has blessed you with. And here's the next point, is we need each other. We need each other. I need you. And this is a truth that Satan often wants us to forget, ignore. Because the body of Christ is made up of such different people. It's made up of different financial classes. You know, there's some of y'all in here that are better off than others financially. And you know what? That's okay. You don't owe me anything. And praise God that we can worship God together. Yeah? This church is made up of different nationalities, races, backgrounds. Because of community, we're not as mixed as we could be. But we are open to anyone to walk in, amen? And God will use each one he brings in. It's made up of different interests, different personalities. And the hard truth, hey, let me get your attention for a minute. Here's a hard truth. You might have a hard time with some of these individuals. You're saying, no, I love them all. Well, first off, before you say that, look around. Who's someone you've not visited with much for quite some time? Between you and God, you and your heart, who's someone that you've never sat with in service? Do we become comfort zones with certain people? Who is the one that you actually avoid? Who's the one you think, well, we'd be better off if they just didn't show up? Ooh. That causes us to step back and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, if you know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because Satan's really good at start planting thoughts in our heads, and frustrations, and bothers. He makes us start second guessing. You know, well, look at verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to me more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. We need every part God has assembled in this body, don't we? Every minor part. Just like every part of our physical body has a purpose, each one of us that are a child of God have a purpose in His church. We can find excuses to not like one another or why we wouldn't need somebody. For years, there was a claim that the tailbone is a product of evolution and we no longer need it. Ever heard that claim? They would argue and fight that. It only remains in man because we came from monkeys. Well, a Christian scientist has a debate challenged. He challenged a room full of evolutionist scientists. He said he would pay for the surgery of whoever would volunteer to remove their tailbone. No one was willing. You know why? The tailbone holds a whole bunch of little muscles attached to it. And without it, you cannot control your bowels. That's just one of the things it does. Every part of the body has a function. I'm not saying you're a tailbone, but I am saying that if the tailbone has a function, so do you. And we need you. See, each part of the body matters and is needed. But what does a healthy body look like? Let's quickly look at a healthy body. Most of us are familiar with what's called an autoimmune disease. It's a general term for a handful of different illnesses where the body is actually attacking itself. Often the immune system recognizes certain cells as the enemy and it starts to attack them, and it hurts organs, tissues, and joints. For a better description of it, look it up. It's the best I can do for you. But understand that's a horrible disease because your body attacks itself. It hurts itself. Unfortunately, the church can often have an autoimmune disease if we don't get our way, if we don't like what's going on, if you're curious, what do? We're curious, we start to gossip. Don't get our way, we start to attack. If we disagree, we start judging the other as wrong. And we can fall into a sinful problem. And what does God say about what He wants in His church? Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That there be no schism in the body. God wants no schism, no division, no gap, no separation. God wants us to work together as a body should work together. Here's a reason that we should be unified. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, real quick. As Satan will remind you to areas on why you might get upset at somebody, not want to be around somebody. Here's the area you must remind yourself when somebody doesn't say what you want them to say. When someone has a different personality than you and they are believers. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 3. As he challenges believers, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here's why. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are one body. We are to be unified. Satan loves nothing more than cause schism to bring division within the body of Christ. He's going to remind you of something somebody said 20 years ago and really hurt your feel bads. He's going to make you read in to what pastor said in a sermon. He must know the background story for you. And I've heard plenty of those times. And then I knew news I didn't know before. God's going to get you upset, or he's going to bring in anger towards you because they didn't vote in the business meeting like you want them to vote. Because the praise team didn't sing the song that you wanted them to sing. Yeah? You see, Satan starts bringing little problems in, little frustrations. Can you believe they said that? They did that? They didn't come? They didn't show up? And it starts to bring division. And you know what you do? When those divisions start to come in our mind and it starts singing to our heart, and we need to remind ourselves of here in Ephesians chapter 4, that I am one with them because of Jesus Christ. Rather than getting angry at him, I should pray for him, and probably for my own heart too. We are one under the same Lord and Master. We have the same hope that is Jesus Christ. We have one eternity in the glory of God. You see, we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one, we are one. And Satan knows how to start trying to divide us, break us up. We got to say, back up, Satan. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me. We let him entertain us and stay in front of us way too often. When we can go back to 1 Corinthians 12, if you will. When we can focus on what makes us one. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, tells us what's going to happen. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You see the unity there? We suffer together. We mourn together. We hurt together. When I step on a nail, not only does my foot hurt, my lips scream. My fists start to punch the wall. My eyes might water a little bit because they're sweating. We are one body. We hurt together when one hurts, don't we? But also when we're honored together. When someone is honored, we're honored together. We celebrate. We praise God together. We dance together. We sing together. Why? Because when my foot is healed, my whole body feels better. You know that? When a blessing happens to one of our own, it happens to all of us. You get promoted at work, praise God. Yeah. You had a baby, praise God. I may have shared before, I don't know. I'll share the same story 20 times, I don't care. We had a friend at our last church, and she had lost a baby that was born and died within hours. And they knew it was going to die. Sad, sad situation. Every year, we'd all go out to the cemetery for a balloon release and stuff like that. And then she went many years, could not get pregnant. But you know what? When the ladies in the church had a baby, who was the first one at the hospital? She was still excited for that lady. Yeah, she'd go out and cry on her own. But she was so excited for you. You know what? It don't have to happen to me. I can praise God that it happened to you. We can celebrate together. We can thank God how He works in lives. So understand this. When Satan reminds you of evil, you remind him who you belong to. You remind him who you are. Look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of who? You're not a football fan no more. Yeah? You're not just a social club. You're the body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, and members in particular, if you are a child of God, you're an individual part of the body of Christ, you are one with Jesus Christ and His people. All you do as a body is to build Him up, to make Him known and increase His body. I praise God for a church He's allowed me to be a part of. I thank God for this church. Each one of you that is here, member or not member, God has placed here for a purpose. Now our desire is long term, that you would see a desire to be committed and join the church and become a member. But in the meantime, you're still part of this family. We still love you. God still wants to use you. I still want to encourage you. I still want to challenge you in God's Word. I still want to hold you accountable. I still want to hug you when you need a hug. I want to slap you when you need a slap. There's a lot of volunteers for that. I understand. But that's because we love each other. And we are one body. And aren't we glad that we serve one Savior? We are called by one hope. Would you stand with me? We know that our unity is not because of our sly words. But we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. But we know that when the Holy Spirit does a work, it's a beautiful work. It's an encouraging work. And we see God do things. If you'll sing with me together, it's number 304, Sweet, Sweet Spirit. Can we play one more time, Brooke? Let's try that again.